Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. What a dreary, rainy, yucky day here in Lexington, Kentucky. I am Glenn the Geek.
I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, where it's sunny and 75 this time every day, all day, year-round, except for the summer. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 22nd, 2011, episode 277, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World.
Do you know what today is?
No, what?
Yeah!
What day is it? Tell me!
It's Tuesday!
I can't believe it! I just don't believe it!
Feels like Tuesday. Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
Well, Glenn, I got to tell you, it's a beautiful day today here in Phoenix. Not so beautiful in Kentucky, but I had one of those nights, Glenn, that horse owners hate.
Oh, no.
Dread.
Did you have a colic night?
I had a colic night.
Really?
You know, I don't know what it is about sitting in my living room watching TV, and, you know, like, that you just hear that noise, like, that odd noise that affects your soul, and you, oh God, I gotta go outside and check the horses. So I go outside and check the horses, and you know, everybody looks okay, and so every evening I go outside and I give them each a carrot and just check on them all, and I give, you know, we have six horses back there, and I give all of the horses a carrot, and they gobble it down, except for Jet, and I go to give him his carrot, and he doesn't want it. I'm like, oh, I don't do what, and then I realized that noise I heard was him rolling. So, yeah, just one of those things. Like, you know, he's had so many problems with ulcers, and I noticed a couple days ago that he was getting back into that, like, kind of ulcery kind of feeling where he doesn't want to be brushed and he doesn't want to be touched and he's been really grumpy. So I started treating him with the ulcer guard a couple days ago and started, but I don't think I caught it soon enough, and he just had it. You could actually hear the gas bubbles in his belly from like 15 feet away. That's how loud it was. Oh, he was gurgling.
You have to bed out, or were you okay?
You know, I got her on the phone, and fortunately I have, you know, being a vet tech for many years, I'm able to give IV shots, so I was able to give him a shot of Banamine, which is what she said she would have done for gas, and we gave him, like, some Maalox and just some other items to make him feel a little better, a little sedative. So in about 20 minutes after that Banamine kicked in, he's totally fine, and right before the show, I went out and checked on him, and he's back to his normal self where he's trying to bite his neighbor on either side of him. So he's feeling a lot better this morning. But
now,
just
are you
one
of those that gets up every 2 hours then all night long to check on him?
No, because I know him and I know how well the Banamine works. It just gets him through it, and it makes it, like, he is so dramatic. He's the kind of horse, he has a gas bubble in his belly, and he's throwing himself on the ground, rolling. He's the same horse that if he steps on himself in the front leg, oh, he limps for days. Oh, my poor foot. Oh, it's so horrible. And he's just got the lowest threshold of pain, where my warm blood is like, you can cut me, and I will still go. He doesn't care. So
I'm a queen, huh? Well,
yeah,
you know,
he
and
is.
I think women, don't you think horse women sort of have a sixth sense? I can't tell you how many times we have gone in the house at night when we had our farm, and Jennifer said, I'm just going to go out and check on the horses. And it wasn't a normal go out and check on the horses. It was, I have a feeling something's wrong. I'm just not saying it. I'm going to go out and check on the horses. And I can't tell you how many times one of the horses was having a problem.
Yeah.
Horse women just have that sense.
I don't know what it is. It's like some sort of crazy connection. But I was inside the house watching television, of course, the season finale of Dancing with the Stars. And I just heard something. I can't say what it was. I just heard it in the back of my brain, I guess, and had to go out there. And you're right. I don't know how many of our listeners would have done the exact same thing. Like, you just know. So, fortunately, he's okay. I can actually see him out my window right now, and he looks just fine. So, hopefully,
well,
we got him
good.
Through that. Well, the really fun thing is I leave town today, so that's
right.
Good.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. You leave town and your horse is sick. That would be bad.
Yeah, good times. Fortunately, I have a really great farm sitter, Jose, who stays here, and he's been around horses his whole entire life, and one of our boarders is a vet. So I have asked her to come by every day and check on him, too.
Well, you know, so, I noticed something with your farm sitters. They all seem to be named Jose. Is that just something you do because you can't remember their names?
It's actually the same guy, Glenn. Jeez.
Oh. Jennifer, what's coming up today?
We just call him old Jose. Hey, Jose, my name is Pablo.
Let me get you a shoehorn. I'll be right back. Yeah.
Seriously.
On today's Advisory Animal Health Tuesday edition, it is shaping up to be a highly contested battle of hilarity. We open up with Caroline Riepler, and I'm sorry, Caroline, if I've messed up your name, because I'm sure I did. She is here to tell us about her, to borrow one of Jamie's favorite words, stinking cute little cowboy and cowgirl photo contest she's running right now. And then the MIG will be mixing it up with Jamie over the hotly contested Eclipse Award that will be decided shortly for the Thoroughbred Racing World. So I'm sure those two are going to be going at it over who's the winner this year. And then Darlene Newman of Equitrekking will be here filling us in on her latest prize that has landed her in the UK for a much different reason this time. And to wrap it up, the grand champion Write Your Best Bad Ed contest winner will be crowned. We've got many, many submissions, and we're going to read them all on the air for you today. So get your tissues out, because some of these are going to bring tears to your eyes. You're going to laugh so hard. So stay tuned. The laughing fits are liable to put us into overtime.
Thank you, Jennifer. It kind of feels like a Friday, and it's only Tuesday. Hey, my Daily Winnie goes out to Rick Conley. Happy birthday, Rick. It's his birthday today, and he's an avid listener. I know he listens almost every day. So we appreciate you listening, Rick, and happy birthday. Part of the Man Army here on, speaking of which, there was a little challenge thrown down yesterday, my naked girls against your naked jumping boys, and I think it was about even, actually. I think we tied.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, I think we tied. But here's yours.
My Daily Winnie goes out to two groups, two organizations. One is the ASPCA, the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. The other recipient of this exact same Daily Winnie goes to Old Friends, which is a nonprofit thoroughbred retirement facility. And the reason that both of these guys are getting my Daily Winnie is because they have come together and an announcement was made yesterday that the ASPCA has just granted Old Friends $50,000. A $50,000 grant. And if you recall, they've been trying to fundraise. Old Friends, of course, is where, you know, you can actually tour the place and see a lot of famous old racehorses that have retired or not able to have, you know, normal lives or working lives. So they retire them at Old Friends, and $50,000 grant awarded to them by the ASPCA. How awesome is that?
That's good, and he's a good guy. We met him soon after we moved here and took a tour over there. He's from Boston. We've had him on a show or two here on the network, too. He's from Boston. He was a journalist, I think, for the Boston Globe, and then decided that he wanted to do something different with his retirement, came down here, saw a need for very, you know, some of them very famous X-ray sources that were going to go to the glue factory, and he decided that he was just going to give them a retirement home, and that's all they do there. They don't work. They just live out their life. And mm-hmm. he has a lot of them there, and he rents farms now. He has one farm not too far from us and then rents another one. He's a good guy. I'm really glad to hear that because he has a huge hay bill all the time, you know.
I'm sure. There's over 100 that he has retired, excuse me, and at least a dozen in New York where he's got the Bobby Frankel division of old friends. How cool is that? So he's got, you know, over 100 horses that he's supporting, and they just they do a really great job. So congrats to them, and thank you to the ASPCA for helping the horses big time.
And he knows the story behind everyone, too. He can stand there and tell you the story. Some of them were actually shipped to Japan, and they were going to be euthanized or slaughtered over there, and the Japanese owners over there actually shipped them back. So,
wow.
You know, done some really good things that way. Good guy. Really good guy. I'm glad to hear that. Terrific.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Just want to let everybody know that, you know, obviously we are going to read the trailer ads. Now, what the trailer ad thing is a couple days ago, a listener sent us a photo of trailer ads that were, I don't know, just absolutely terrible. Just terrible. And their ads were, the photo was terrible, and it was like a headless horse trailer bumper pull with flat tires.
Headless?
Yeah. No roof, no nothing, and it was just a big mess. And so everybody had sent ads, and we asked you to write your own ads, and the ads are terrible. I mean, just terrible that you guys have submitted. So terrible that I've laughed for like 15 minutes before the show reading all these. And they're so wonderfully terrible that we had a really hard time picking a winner. So not even 100% sure that we've locked in a winner. So by the end of the show, we'll have it figured out. Right, Glenn?
Yes, hopefully by the end of the show, you or I will have picked a winner by that point.
They're so funny.
They are good. Very good. We have the best creative listeners. And you could tell that these people were obviously people that had submit or had listened to every week of Really Bad Ads on Fridays because they got it. They really got the gist of it. It was really good. I was very pleased. Hey, I have one of the first reviews that has come out for Warhorse. And these are people, remember we talked last week about an early showing that if you were in the military, if you were in the military or you were a veteran, you could get to see it early in Canada. You remember we talked about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, one of these guys, the military guys up there, is actually I think he's currently in active duty, and he wrote a blog post with a little bit of review, and I want to read just three paragraphs of it to you. And just, this is not a spoiler alert. There's nothing that will be spoiled in this reading of it. So I just want to read it real quick. And normally we don't like to read things too much on the show, but this, I just want to read it because it was so well written. And this is what he wrote, and it was on MIL News CA, which is the name of his blog. I assume it stands for Military News Canada. This is a family film, but I do not recommend it for very small children. However, if you want your older children about the age of 6 and up to see the film that expresses all the intensity and horror of war without the graphic violence and tells a story that anyone could fall in love with, this is the movie they will remember when they want to tell their kids to watch a classic. I have to warn you now that if you are an animal lover, especially of horses, there will be moments in this film that will haunt you terribly. There were a few scenes that had more pathos and drama for me than the death of Bambi's mother. And I know the scene from Bambi is the gold standard for tear-jerking film moments. I won't spoil the story, but I will say It is based on the full scope of World War I, from a family struggle to scrape by up and to the end of the war. The film is shot without regard to expensive limitations and captures the era wonderfully. The transition from pastoral farmland set in timeless rolling hills to the cratered wasteland of the film's climax is the stuff of Oscar nominations, and I'm sure there will be many. But I think Spielberg wanted to highlight the wastage of war that is personified in the plight of war horses, millions of which fell victim to the conflict's madness. Spielberg was brilliant in illustrating just how death in that war was so meaningless, and he chose to do it not from a human perspective, but that from the animals we ensnarled in our own insane self-destruction. I can't recommend this film enough. It will be different from other war films we soldiers come to love over time, but will become just as much a classic. Unfortunately, there were so few people who took advantage of this special screening. I hope you get the chance to see it in a theater where the full grandeur of the tale will come through. I'm just crying almost reading the review.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, how I'm going to do it. And we did have a listener that said they also saw a pre-screening. They posted it on our Facebook page. I was trying to find it today. It was a comment. And it was from All God's Creatures Pet Services posted. We saw this movie a couple weeks ago at a special advanced screening. Awesome film. If you're listening, call us. Call us at 347-637-3238 or 3238. And, you know, don't give us a spoiler, but let us know if you agreed with this review. But what a review. Well written. I just had to read it when I saw it. So
well, you know what I find amazing is I have not read the book. I have not seen the play. I've obviously not seen the movie. And yet I have no idea what's going to happen at the end. No idea. I don't know if it's a happy thing or a sad thing. I have no clue. And I love that that has been withheld for so long, even though so many people actually know what happened. So please, listeners, audience, Glenn, keep up the good work. Please do not spoil this. This is going to be a Christmas Day miracle for me. I'm going to sit in the theater with my little box of tissues. I'll be in Oklahoma, and I will cry my eyes out, and that'll be okay. No matter what happens, I'm going to cry. Happy, sad, it doesn't matter. Horse women, we're just going to cry because it's a horse on the movie.
James. You have to look at Facebook.
I don't want to.
I'm sorry. I just made a mistake.
That guy's disturbed. That guy's, whoever is doing this is mentally handicapped, and I'm really sorry for the Gopher Coalition. So, Glenn, why don't you describe what you see, and then can we move on? This guy interrupts our show every day.
On our Facebook page, Horses in the Morning, we have the Fair Treatment of the Gophers Coalition, who is adamantly opposed to Jamie's euthanization. What's that word? You know what I'm trying to say. Mass
murder.
Torture and destruction of all of the gophers on her property. And today they posted a picture. Where the hell they got a picture of two gophers, like, in a wedding with a little tuxedo and the wedding dress on. And it's the caption is, "Flyover, thank you so much for the beautiful setting for our wedding. Looking so forward to watching our little ones grow as part of the Flyover family, Garth and Gail Gopher."
Oh, my God. This is so wrong. This is insane. And they're not even gophers.
And how do you know it's a guy doing this? It could be a female.
No. There is. I know who this is. I know who this is. Okay, I know who you are.
I don't think it's Alan. I know you thought it was Alan from the Weston Show, but I don't think it is. I've talked to him. I don't think it is.
No, it's not Alan. No, Alan's not smart enough.
Oh, Alan's going to be calling. I'm sorry. Oh, God. I got to keep. All right.
Let's go to our guest. Folks.
All right, let's get on to our first guest. And I, We have Carolyn on the line here, and I saw on Facebook the other day, Jamie, just the cutest thing, and I thought it would be perfect for a couple days before Thanksgiving. And it's a contest that's being run by littlejourneysworld.com, and they have a Facebook contest on there. And it is so cute. I just had to get her on to talk about it because it's something that you're going to want to see. So let's say good morning to Carolyn. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I am great. I got to see the nice, beautiful sunrise this morning. Got up a little early, but that's okay.
Yeah, you're out there on the West Coast too, aren't you?
Yep. Beautiful, sunny Colorado.
Oh, Colorado's one of the most beautiful places. It really is. You're lucky. Do you have a view of the mountains out your window?
I do. I live in the countryside. Right behind me is farmland, and I got nice snow top covered mountains view.
So her view that she gets to see, it's really not fair. Glenn, you're looking out your window right now, and you're seeing nothing but pouring down rain and darkness. I look outside, and I see they're sort of mountains. They're called the White Tank Mountains, and they're like 10 feet tall. And then she gets the Rockies. It's awesome.
Well, Carolyn, what is Little Journeys World?
Little Journeys World is my business, and I created it in 2001. And I designed a line called Western Journeys for my Western line. And I feel like everybody has a journey in their life, from journeying into the world, into Mama and Daddy's arms, to every journey that you have in your life. So that's why I feel like a life is a journey. And this
is
a journey, and
clothing?
Now I'm here with you guys talking, so that's a journey.
That's true. Now, is it clothing or it's kid stuff, right?
It's baby children products for right now, and I'm hoping later on to expand.
Now, is it all cowboy and cowgirl and horse related, or is it just everything?
I kind of have everything, but mostly I specialize in the Western because I was born here in Colorado. I was raised European because I'm half Swiss. I just kind of, I do what I feel in my heart that needs to be put out there.
Well, you do have some cute stuff. I was glancing around the website this morning, and there is some cute stuff on there. And if you have kids, it's definitely one you're going to want to check out. It's called littlejourneysworld.com. But on your Facebook page, and this is what I noticed, is you're having a little bit of a contest right now. Tell us about that, and then I got to talk about some of these pictures.
Well, it just kind of flew. I don't know. All of a sudden, I said, well, let's just do a children's contest. I don't see very many cute cowboys and cowgirls, very many anyways. And so let's just do one, and it just flew off. I think it's about 45 pictures on the second contest that I started. And I just let the fans vote for their loved ones and have their friends vote, and it just flew. And I give out a gift certificate to whoever wins, who has the most votes, and it's just fun. And it gets to see their kids' passion of them being cowgirls and cowboys. They're adorable. It's just so cute.
Adorable is a good word because they are absolutely adorable. And I just want to say the contest will run through December the 9th, right? So people can submit their photos up until that point. Now, I'm on here. We were looking at this morning, and we were laughing and having so much fun talking about the different kids that are on here. And Jennifer's going to post a link right to this page. Jennifer, if you'll see that in the show notes. It's the longer link below the description. She's going to post a link right to this page where the photos are. There are some adorable ones on here. Jamie, I know you had a favorite.
Well, you know, before I tell her my favorite, I want to know what is actually your favorite, Caroline?
I actually have two. I have the one from Nicole Buckner Crowley, who owns Lazy Sea Photography. That little cowboy is just really working it on that ranch, I swear.
I love that one, too, the little black and white one.
Oh, yeah, he just like, I'm the boss, the cow better do what I'm doing, and otherwise, you know, he's getting it. And then the other one that I really liked was the four cowgirls holding each other, just showing some friendship love there. I just really liked that one. It was also a black and white one.
Yeah. It's very cute, from Amy Sawyer. Yeah.
Yes.
And see, that actually reminded me of my childhood, except for we would have been in English clothes, not in Western clothes. But it's so cute, and it is exactly like what girls go to the barn for, and I like that one. But I'm sorry. There is nothing cuter than, like, the mini man from Snowy River that is on your page. And it's a photo, if you will, of a cowboy atop a hill, the sunset fading behind him. And he's there on his cowboy, tipping his hat to, I'm sure, Jessica from the Man from Snow River, or whatever cowgirl of choice. And the cowboy gently tips his hat to say, thank you, ma'am, and take off. However, the cowboy is like four, and the horse is like a Shetland pony.
Oh, it almost looks like a Thelwell pony. You can't see any sky between his belly and the ground.
I know. Oh, my gosh, he's so cute. And it's just like it's just such a fantastic photograph of, like, a kid being a man, you know, and doing that. And it's just perfectly silhouetted with the sunset behind him. So it's just a silhouette. And, oh, I just love it. I want to put it on my wall.
The one I thought I had a favorite, too, and it's the second to bottom row. It's the little tiny, tiny infant cowboy that's sitting on the Western saddle. And at first, I had to look really close at this one, Carolyn, because I was going, how the heck did they get him to stay on that saddle without him falling off? He's tiny. And then I noticed that there's a hand coming in from the back that they covered up with a scarf. And that's how they got him to stay on. But I didn't notice that right away, so that was pretty good deception. But he is cute as Dickens and is having so much. He's already having fun. He's going to ride bulls one day. Bulls and
rocks. I believe that one, too.
Yeah.
I would like to take a moment and say that there are some photos, like the one, and it reminds me of me, because this is what I did when I was 9 years old, is get on a horse and go galloping around. However, now we need helmets, people. Put a helmet on your child. My goodness. I love the photo of the girl galloping along, but her hair streaming in the wind, and I'm like, oh, lock that thing down with a helmet.
I thought, too, that another one of my favorites was the little blonde girl sitting with the tan hat in the grass. That was just a cute picture. That's one I'm sure the parents, that was from Paige Armstrong. That's one I'm sure they had blown up and put on the wall. That was just cute.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a lot of cute ones here. Congratulations for coming up with something new and different. And Jennifer's going to post on our Facebook page, or has already, she did. She posted a link to the contest so that people can see it, and they can also submit right there on Facebook, right? Is that how they get their pictures to you?
Yeah, they submit, and then they have, and then I'm able to then load it up to the photo contest, and they should vote into the photo contest, because it's too hard for me to count if the vote's coming all over the place. It needs to be in the photo album voting, and it goes until the 9th, and yeah.
And I also wanted to say, it's Christmas time now officially. We're in Thanksgiving week. We can talk about it. Jamie has a quarantine on it until Thanksgiving week. So it's officially that time. If you have little kids in your family, whether it's your kids or your nieces or your nephews or grandkids, go to Little Journeys World to buy your Christmas gifts, because I'll tell you what, they have a wide selection of Western-type stuff on here that kids would just love. You did a good job with the variety.
Thank you. I'll give a coupon for your followers if you would like to have one.
Oh, okay, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's 25% off, and they have to put in code HOLIDAY2011. And if they do a $50 purchase, they'll get a free gift. And if they sign up on our newsletter soon, I'll be sending out a coupon for Black Friday, which would be a 50% coupon. But they need to sign up for our newsletter.
So it's Holiday 2011, all one word, all together?
Yep.
And that's in the coupon section when they check out?
And that's in the coupon section when they check out.
All right, we'll post that as well so that everybody has that. That's a nice offer. That's 25% off. That's a good deal.
I hope so.
Yeah, that's terrific. Well, thank you so much for being on with us. We really appreciate it. Good job with the contest. Will you let me know who wins then so we can announce that after you're done on the night?
Sure, I will announce that. Yes, I will tell you.
Okay, great. We appreciate that. Well, thank you so much, and you have a great Thanksgiving.
Oh, well, and you too. And
right,
I hope that you'll get some better weather there.
Yeah, we hope so too. But I'm going to be in California next week, so I don't care. We're going to be in nice. Thanks, guys. All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
They are cute.
Now, oh my gosh, adorable. Now, the pictures are on the Facebook page, but the website, if you want to look at the clothing, and she's got like a rustic line and baby gifts and just all sorts of stuff that you kind of always need to have in stock for friends that are having babies, at least I do. You want to go on to littlejourneysworld.com, and you can check out all of her stuff there.
And the coupon code is HOLIDAY2011 for 25% off. Good deal. Added bonus today. An added bonus.
Or 50% off for Black Friday if you follow her on Facebook, and then she'll send it back to you.
Oh, there you go. All right, let's talk about our sponsor for this half hour, and then we're going to come back, and it's a throwdown between Jamie and Migliori about horse
No, he's the expert. I just get to ask his opinion. I'm not going to fight with the Meg. He'll take me down, I'm pretty sure. Well, today's sponsor is Pfizer Animal Health, and they are the leading manufacturer of animal health products in North America and in international markets. Pfizer Animal Health's tried-and-true line of vaccines include West Nile Innovator, the first vaccine developed to help protect against equine West Nile virus, the Innovator combination vaccines, and FluVac Innovator vaccine line, along with many other quality products. At Pfizer Animal Health, they're passionate about the health and wellness of horses and all animals. For more information about Pfizer Animal Health products, visit PfizerAnimalHealth.com. And they are also reintroducing Quest Plus, the gel dewormer. It's been on back order, unavailable to horse owners and vets for quite some time, but the product is now back on the market just in time for your fall deworming program, and it'll help protect horses against tapeworms as well as other internal parasites. So for more information on Quest and Quest Plus, visit questhorse.com. And I must say, Glenn, that last night when I was panicking because my horse was colicking and I called my vet, of course, where was my vet?
Let me see. Your vet would probably have been at the movie.
In Texas, at the AAEP convention.
Oh, that's right, at the convention. Yeah, you're right. I forgot about
that. Apparently, the only vet that was left home at the clinic close to my house, because I called there too, was the intern who has been practicing now for about 3 weeks. So I was like, darn it, AAEP. I was like, you have to take all of our vets when my horse is colicking. No! I'm mad now.
I didn't think about that half the vets in the country are now away.
There's more than half. I mean, every vet that is around me, except for the intern, and bless her heart, I'm sure she's doing a fantastic job, but, you know, is gone at the convention when my horse colics. So that's okay. We've got another horse owner on the phone, and he and I have talked back and forth, and I would like to say hello to Richard Migliori, the Mig, as we call him, and I've got to also congratulate Mig, because he actually made some pretty darn good calls as far as the Breeders' Cup go. When nobody else picked some of the winners, he picked a bunch of them. So, hello, Mig. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. I've got to say congrats. I mean, who knew you would pick Miss Aurelia, Royal Delta? I think you even threw your hat in for Drosselmeyer, and you were just right. I should have bet your picks.
Well, that's the advantage of being there, you know, 10 or 12 days before the race and kind of getting to watch everybody train up to the race. And, you know, you get a bunch of good horses together, excuse me, on a big day like that. It's just about who is doing really well at the time and who gets the right kind of trips and, you know, has good racing luck. And I think with some of the results, we saw that, you know, some of the big prices that came in.
Yeah, I've never seen a Breeders' Cup come in with that big of margins. I mean, one horse, I think it was Miss Aurelia that came in 67-1 or something crazy.
Well, that was Court Vision, who, I got to be honest, the result is official, and I still couldn't bet him. But you know, there were some strange results, but, you know, it was a great 2 days of racing, and, you know, for the most part, we, you know, there was only one incident, one horse was injured, but for the most part, you know, terrific, safe racing.
Yeah, absolutely. And then that little gray horse, is that who you're talking about? The gray, almost white thoroughbred that won?
Oh, that's Hansen. Yeah, he was
Hansen.
You know, he's not a very big horse. He's actually on the small side, but you could just see his whole demeanor. He did not want to get passed. He, when the favorite Union Rags got to him, he just pinned his ears and basically said, "No, I'm sorry, I'm not going away." I admired that horse a lot. I don't know how much further he can go, but certainly with his attitude, you know, he's pretty tough.
Yeah, well, let's get into a little bit. I was a little surprised, and maybe this happens every year and I just don't know it, but like shared account, several horses were retired after the Breeders' Cup. Is that pretty common?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, especially horses that have, you know, done a lot already on the racetrack and they want to, you know, breed them and see what kind of babies they produce. And, yeah, I think that's kind of their last hurrah, a lot of these horses, you know, except obviously for the younger ones. But Uncle Mo, you know, he's retired, but he had issues with his liver problem, and you know, they're doing what's best for the horse. And, you know, a couple you would have liked to have seen come back, but how about a horse like Gio Ponti, who raced until he was six and earned, you know, over $6 million? You know, he earned a right to go become a stallion and have a nice retirement.
Yeah, I was actually really happy to hear that they retired Gio Ponti. Now, you mentioned Uncle Mo. I can't mention Uncle Mo and not ask your opinion on Ashford Stud putting the $35,000 stud fee on him. Does that seem excessive or appropriate to you?
No, I think he warrants that kind of a stud price. He was one of the most brilliant two-year-olds we've seen in a very long time. Maybe you have to go back as far as Devil's Bag to come up with a two-year-old that was as developed and as precocious as he was. And in this country, that's very highly valued. I mean, we race our two-year-olds, and certainly you want a horse that shows the kind of brilliance he did, the kind of speed he showed. So I actually think that that's probably a pretty fair price for him starting out. And the next 3-4 years will tell whether it warrants going up or they'll adjust it and it'll go down. But I think it's a good starting point for him.
Okay. Just trying to learn a little bit more about those. I was like, oh my gosh, that seems expensive. But, you know, I mean, like you said, he was to go all the way back to Devil's Bag for a two-year-old that good. That's pretty impressive. So moving on, just because we're trying to get with you a little bit of kind of a year-end wrap-up. And we'll get into your opinion on Horse of the Year here shortly. But I've got to ask your opinion on, we talked about it on the show, and we're talking about Big Brown's former trainer, Rick Dutrow, I can't know how to say it. And he was given a suspension for 10 years because of various things that he has done illegally in the racing world. Now, that suspension has been stayed. They've let him continue training through all of the appeals and all that kind of stuff. But do you know him, and do you have an opinion about kind of stuff that goes on there?
Well, I do know Rick. I've written for him over the years. I wrote First Call for his father many years ago. So, you know, I've known the family forever. And first things first, you got to put personal feelings aside. And, you know, it's the United States of America. Everybody is afforded due process. So, you know, he got a very, you know, basically a life sentence. I mean, 10 years for a trainer, it would be pretty hard to rebuild after being out of the game for 10 years. So he appealed, which is his right to do, and now he'll have his opportunity to, you know, see if it was too much of a penalty, or, I mean, he just has to go through the process now. That being said, I have a hard time with anybody that doesn't respect the game. And it just seems like when you thumb your nose at the rules for that long, you're not respecting the game in the way it should be respected. So, you know, on the one hand, I absolutely believe in his right to due process and, you know, hope that it's adjudicated fairly and he's treated fairly. And on the other hand, on a personal level, I just can't respect anybody that doesn't respect the game.
Oh, my God, Meg. I was expecting an answer of political correctness and you skirting the question like most would do. And I want to give you a big hug right now because I totally agree with you. I it's hard to say, okay, this guy should go away forever and blah, 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 because I'm not kind of in there. But you're right. Somebody who, you know, obviously due process, but somebody who, like you gently put, thumbs their nose or gives their middle finger to the rules repeatedly and repeatedly. Although I think, you know, Big Brown was such a great story for racing. I think he kind of put a cloud over that. And unfortunately, when he retired and he went to Three Chimneys, everybody, I was happy that he kind of was released from that kind of prison I felt that he was in. But I'm just glad to hear you say that, because I do think that respect is kind of the most important part of the whole racing game. And thank you for being honest there. I appreciate it.
It's especially important right now, don't you think, because of everything that's going on in the racing world, all the upheaval and the changes right now. It has to become a better game to survive.
Well, you know, I really think it's an extremely exciting time in racing for a number of reasons. I think we kind of bottomed out in some respects, and I really think that, particularly on the New York racing scene, there is such a great buzz, such a positive energy going on. And I really think we're going to see some stuff in New York, in particular over the next few years, that we've never seen before. We're hitting an era that is going to be unprecedented, and the size of the purses and the quality of the racing is going to reach levels that I'm frankly so excited about being a part of, just being a part of racing. Certainly wish I could, you know, throw my leg over them again because of the, again, the size of the purse and the quality, but I really believe that we're really on the cusp of great things.
Well, talking to you definitely inspires a little bit. And you know, just coming out with the story where Steve Asmussen has 6,000 wins.
It's amazing. And you know, 46 years old, he could wind up being the all-time leading trainer before it's all said and done. And pretty remarkable when you think about his brother being a champion rider, Eclipse Award-winning apprentice in the United States, and being a champion rider in France, and then Steve to have this success as a trainer, it's pretty remarkable. I guess a pretty good pedigree, that family, for racing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that 6,000 wins, no matter how old you are, is difficult, but to do it at such a relatively young age is just absolutely phenomenal. Now, let's talk a little bit about the heated debate for Horse of the Year. Now, before we get to that, we'll go to three-year-old Male of the Year, because these are the ones that everybody's been talking about all year. You've got Animal Kingdom, Caleb's Posse, Rulers on Ice, Shackleford, Stay Thirsty. You know, I have an opinion, of course, because I always do. But what is your opinion on the three-year-old Male of the Year?
You know, that's one of the divisions, like Horse of the Year, that it's just so difficult, and I don't think there's a wrong answer. There's still some racing too. I mean, I don't know if any of the three-year-olds come back and do anything between now and the end of the year. Let's say either in the Clark or the Gar Mile, if that might not have an effect on people's thinking. But right now, I still believe Animal Kingdom was the best three-year-old. Unfortunately, he was injured in the Belmont. We never got to see, you know, him the rest of the year. But I thought his Derby was probably the best three-year-old performance, male performance this year. His Preakness was arguably just as good. He was unlucky not to win the Preakness. And then he was basically eliminated at the start of the Belmont Stakes and injured, subsequently injured. So, you know, for me, he was the three-year-old of the year. That being said, Caleb's Posse was a good horse and certainly did more, and sprinting or up to a mile was more his thing. And his mile Breeders' Cup race was a fabulous race. But Wilburn, who's a nice horse to Steve Asmussen, wouldn't even be in that conversation. And he soundly defeated Caleb's Posse in the Indiana Derby. So it kind of puts a damper on me saying he was the three-year-old champion. I'd have to go with Animal Kingdom.
Well, I'm going to let you stay on the line because I agree with you. No, just kidding. I think so. And rumor has it that Animal Kingdom is galloping again and is actually starting to get back to work. So good for him, and definitely good luck to Animal Kingdom and his camp for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be exciting to see him as a four-year-old. And the fact that he seems like a horse that's comfortable with any surface, you know, he's turf, dirt, or synthetic. So, you know, that they have so many options for the horse. And then, obviously, it makes it possible for us to see him in a lot of different situations. And I like a horse that is that multifaceted.
Yeah, definitely. So, as far as Horse of the Year goes, what's your take there? And then I'm gonna get a personal with you.
Well, that's a tough one. I kind of lean towards Harb the Grey still. I think her race in the Breeders' Cup Classic wasn't her best. I kind of think she went over the top a little. She looked a little lighter to me at Churchill Downs than she had, like in the run-up to the Beldame and the Woodward. She had a pretty strenuous campaign. But again, that's still, there's still racing to be done. And let's say Flat Out wins the Clark. I mean, you got to take another look at him. A horse that people are forgetting a lot about is Chisway, who won the Met Mile and the Whitney and then was injured and didn't get to, you know, finish out the season. But those were two pretty defining performances. I think an argument can be made for him. An argument can be made for Acclamation, a horse out in California who did most of his racing on turf, but also did win the Pacific Classic on synthetic. Cape Blanco, you know, purely from a turf campaign, but he did win 3 grade ones. So there's a lot to be said, but if you put a gun to my head, I'd say Harp the Grace.
Yeah, boy. I like it. I like it, too. Now, real quick, have you heard of the horse Rapid Redo? Because he just won his 20th straight race.
Yeah, actually, on the race day show that I did yesterday, we talked a lot about him, and we're going to show the race this morning before we start our live racing card, and I just think it's fantastic. I think he's been managed beautifully. He runs for the starter allowance, 5,000. They got him eligible for that. They don't look to bite off more than they should. They put him in the places where he's the most competitive, and he's like a guy, the kind of person I like. You know, he's a hard worker. He's blue collar. He shows up every time. He's honest. He brings his lunch pail. He goes to work. And, you know, he's 26 for 40 now. That's pretty remarkable. And anytime you win 20 in a row, you know, so many things can go wrong in a race. The fact that, you know, he makes things happen right for himself, I have so much admiration and respect for the horse and his connections. I think it's a fantastic story.
Yeah, I do too. We'll definitely keep everybody up to date on that. Now, I've got to ask you, how's your horse doing? How's your little Tennessee Walker?
Oh, he's terrific. He's grown up so much over the summer because he's just he's just 3 years old, and he's filled out, and he's actually got a real hind end on him now, which he didn't for a while. He was just totally mature, and he's just as cool a horse as I've ever been around. And actually, everybody on the farm, knock on wood, all of the horses are doing fantastic. And my daughter with her Welsh pony was the Hudson Valley Hunter Jumper champion for age group and the Short Star champion. So we had a lot of fun with that this summer.
Yay! Congratulations. Oh, my gosh, you had to be a proud daddy. Oh, I remember those short stirrup days. That's tough competition.
Well, you know, it was her first year doing it, and she had a lot of fun. And they're a great match. Like, when she rides that pony, you can see how the pony takes care of her, and Gabrielle understands the pony. It is just fun to watch, win or lose. It's just a great thing for the kids to get into.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, congratulations. We would love it if you would email us some pictures or put some on our Facebook page. Please, please, please do. But we also want to mention, obviously, you can find the MIG on HRTV. Go ahead and plug your next venture.
Well, you know, HRTV has been so good to me. You know, for me to kind of fall into that position and have them bring me on board right after retiring from riding, you know, great on so many levels, obviously professionally to you know, launch a new career, and then, you know, personally to keep me busy and involved. And I can't thank everybody at HRTV enough for the opportunity I've been given. And I think we've been doing some good shows. And I think the work shows for, like, the Breeders' Cup and the Triple Crown have been great, because we have been given, you know, the whole team very good insights as to, you know, who's doing well. And you know, I'm not a handicapper, so I'm not really trying to pick winners. I'm just trying to give people more information that they can, you know, either lean one way or another. And, you know, HRTV is great. And we're actually going to do a Horse of the Year, kind of a Clips Award Championship show a week from this Sunday on HRTV. And it'll be kind of like a roundtable discussion of, you know, who everybody thinks should be Horse of the Year, three-year-old sprinter, that kind of thing. And I'm looking forward to that. I think it'll be a great show.
All right, that's HRTV.com if you don't have it on your Dish Network. So please, everybody, go check it out. And, again, thank you so much for coming on with us all year long and weighing in and being a part of our show. Really appreciate it. Love every time you're on.
Thank you, guys. It's always a pleasure, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
Oh, absolutely.
Happy Thanksgiving, Meg.
You too, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. Take care.
Richard the MIG Migliori of HRTV weighing in on pretty much the year-end racing drama of the year, so we do appreciate that. I was a little surprised by some of his answers, but not surprised by, you know, the Horse of the Year, because I think Havre de Grace and Animal Kingdom are going to get it.
One of the things I'm always so happy with MIG is he actually answers the questions. He doesn't dance. He tells you what he thinks. So I think he's pretty confident in his position, and that's one of the reasons I love having him on, is you do get answers,
yeah.
Which is kind of... Well,
definitely.
If you're going to buy anything this holiday season, buy it, and you're buying it at Amazon, before you go shopping, just stop by horsesinthemorning.com and click on the Amazon link on the left side of the page. That lets Amazon know you are a listener of the Horse Radio Network, and they give us a little credit back for everything you buy. It doesn't even have to be horse stuff, anything. So it doesn't cost you anything but an extra click. Go to Horses in the Morning and just click on the Amazon link and then go buy your stuff. And we appreciate any help that you can give us that way, and we appreciate your support. Well, today is our day where Templeton Thompson just had her third Thursday session, and she reposted, actually, a song, because it is Thanksgiving. She reposted a song called Wake Up Grateful, and it's so appropriate for this week. And I know you're heading out here shortly. We have one more live day here on Horses in the Morning with a special guest host tomorrow. But I wanted you to hear Wake Up Grateful from Templeton Thompson. It is perfect for this week. And then we're going to be back talking to Darlene Newman. And I know you have some personal questions for her, Janie, and we'll get to those as well.
I do.
Back porch, I sit and watch a new day dawn. take one thing for granted. This don't last for very long. This thing called life. Oh yeah, yeah. This thing called life. And now every day I wake up grateful. It's a choice. Lay my head down and I wake up grateful. Yeah. Ooh. I know pain's a part of living. It don't scare me like it did. You see, I used to have this fear of and dive right in this thing called life. Oh yeah, yeah, this thing called life. And now every day I wake up grateful. It's a choice I make every day to keep it simple. The day I give it away, lay my head down, and I wake up grateful. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, I wake up grateful every day.
I just saw the response you put up to the Gophers. That's very funny. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenn McGeek here with the Gopher Killer, Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen. We are sponsored today by Pfizer Animal Health, and I just can't get through this morning. It's just too funny.
I would like to let you know that we made a new purchase in the Gopher Killing excitement, and it's one of these big T-bar things, and you put the poison in the top, and you find the holes, and it goes into the center of the hole. It was just like what the gopher guy, our gopher killer we hired, was using. So we bought our own so we can touch it up in between his visits. Well, I just looked outside during that song, and I'm like, where's Chad? He is out with the T-bar killing gophers.
He's You're taking all over your down. Job.
I know, I love it. Carry on.
Well, we have a couple of Horse Radio Network highlight shows I'd like to mention today. One is the driving radio show came out this morning, episode number 20, and it was called Horse-Drawn Ice Cream. It's about this guy that runs the Marshall Carriage Company up in Michigan and actually has a horse-drawn ice cream wagon. Goes around town with his horse and carriage serving ice cream to little kids. I think that's a cool way to do it. Sure beats the creepy van that drives around here. And then the Eventing Radio Show had their live show with Lucinda Green on. They had their live show with Lucinda Green on Sunday, and it's now out in the recorded version, so you can hear that show. I know, Jamie, you missed it because of the time difference, but you can now listen to it at eventingradio.com. So that's out as well. We had several callers who called in to ask questions, so that was a fun show. And Lucinda was always candid. She's always candid. You know, you think the Mig is candid. Lucinda makes him look like he's dodging questions.
No kidding. Well, I'm excited. I'm going to download that for the airplane today because I know that she asked my question, the one I wanted to know from Lucinda.
She did.
What do you look for an OTTV? when you're going for an event horse. So I can't wait to listen to her answer because I know she'll give it to us straight. She's very entertaining.
Yes, and she had listen about halfway through to the caller who threw her a curveball. You're gonna like that one too. Caught her off guard. So,
good deal.
Yeah, so take a listen, Dad. You can find all of our shows at horseradionetwork.com. And another show you can find is actually on TV, and we have had Darlene Newman coming on this program since day one, and we just love having her on, and she is back today with some exciting news. Her little program called Equitracking that started out on PBS and a couple of stations is now just growing like crazy, and she's become a super megastar. Hi, Darlene.
Hi. I know, I feel like we've grown up together.
Aww.
Well, you have done such a terrific job with this and getting it out there and marketing it and winning Oscars and things like that. And now you have another exciting announcement for everybody.
Yeah, I can't even believe it, but starting January 2nd, in the UK and Ireland on Horse and Country TV, who I know you guys know pretty well, Equitracking is going to start airing across the pond. So it's super exciting because all of these awesome places that we've trekked, now people in the UK and Ireland can sit back in their house and learn about Wyoming and Texas and all the great places we've traveled as well. So it's awesome. We're very excited.
Now, do they actually do the voiceover with you with an English accent? Or
that would be really cool. No, you know what, Glenn? I went in studio and I did my version of, no, I'm not even going to do it because they may not put the show on here if I did that. No.
And I'm going to have to meet Janie quick or she'll be doing it.
Well, it's actually really funny because, so we're broadcasting in the UK and Ireland. That's, you know, pretty easy as far as they can air the show as it is. But our show is airing in Japan now as well and France. And so what they do is they take Equitracking and sometimes someone goes in studio and does my voice. So it's kind of like dubbed over, and it seems like it would almost like be like a soap opera or something, and there's a Darlie somewhere else in France talking for Equitracking, so it's really funny.
Now, did they sound anything like you? Or do you watch it and go, wow, that's weird?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I haven't seen it, but I've had people that, you know, just that I've met and come across in different places that have said, like, oh, my gosh, I saw you on TV in Switzerland, and you were speaking French. And I'm like, well, that wasn't really me, but.
That's funny. So now you're starting January 2nd, and are they going to be replaying all of the episodes that you've done, or are they just starting from the current ones? What are they going to do?
They're actually starting with our first 20 episodes. So we filmed 33 episodes now that are complete, and, you know, there's more in the works. So the first 20, I think it's great because it's a lot of U.S. episodes. So, I mean, we've gone through Georgia and Wyoming, Colorado, Vermont, California, Hawaii, and then, of course, some international, Iceland, you know, just Costa Rica. So it's a really diverse offering of places, but, you know, tons of great U.S. destinations, including Kentucky.
That's right.
What'd you do in Kentucky?
Oh, my gosh, we loved it. We went to the Kentucky Horse Park. We did the Rolex 3-day. I went horseback riding at the Big Red Stables out in Harrodsburg and down to Land Between the Lakes. So
didn't you go to Shaker Village, too? Did you go to Shaker Village?
We did. Oh, my gosh, that was so beautiful. Glenn, do you go over there a lot?
Well, I'll tell you, I brought that up because Jennifer and I are going to be going over there on Saturday for the Blessing of the Hounds. They actually do the Blessing of the Hounds at the hunt over there right in Shaker Village. It's the coolest thing.
That is such a beautiful place. I mean, just we actually, you know, rode around some of the historic buildings, and we were there in the spring, so the flowers were out. I mean, that's a beautiful place to ride and just be in general.
Yeah, it's so serene. It's quiet and just serene. I don't know what other word to use. Yeah.
The water, right. The different creeks running through there, I loved it. You guys, that's cool. I wish I could go with you.
Yeah, I wish you could too.
Well, and I heard when I was listening to the show before I came on, I heard about the Michigan horse-drawn ice cream truck. We're going to be filming in Michigan later this year, so I kind of want to go and take a ride and have some ice cream now.
See? And you guys are going to head up to, you're heading up to the Mackinac Island, aren't you?
We are. And, you know, we just did this contest so you could win the chance to be in our Michigan episode and come with us to Mackinac Island. And the winner was just announced. This equestrian named Lori from Connecticut won. So she's going to be coming up to Michigan with us. It's really cool. I'm excited. So she'll kind of hang out and come to dinner with us and be in the episode. So I don't know. We're going to definitely ride, and then I wanted to do a horse-drawn carriage thing up there, too, because, you know, that's kind of what you have to do when you go to Mackinac.
Right, yeah, definitely. You can actually drive it yourself up there.
I know. I've done a little carriage driving. I don't know.
I have a question for you, Darlie. You know, you've ridden all over the world, and this is going to be kind of off-topic with what y'all were talking about, but my husband and I are going to take a vacation, and he wanted me to ask you, what is something that I would like, a very romantic, like the most romantic equitrekking trip that you've taken for a couple?
For a couple.
Because you travel with your husband. I mean, come on, you know, let's spend anywhere in the world.
Well, okay, I'm going to give you two choices. I always say Ireland for most everything, because you can have the romance, you can have, you know, the crack, which is what they call fun over there, which is so bizarre to me, but you can have the crack, you can have these beautiful landscapes, you can go to the beach, and it's also just really romantic. And over, Jamie, I would go to Castle Leslie or Mount Juliet. Those places are so romantic because they're old castles and estates, and there's so much history, and you can kind of feel like you're living the high life, and it's not as expensive as you would think, and it's still romantic. There are like candlelight dinners and stuff like that. So I think that would be a great trip for you guys.
Okay, I'm writing these down now. Sorry.
Oh, I just said Maui too, because I mean the sunset rides over there. There's a sunset ride in the West Maui Mountains, and that's just beautiful.
Maui. Okay, I'm writing that down. Now, I do have an opinion, because he actually has suggested Ireland. I was thinking Spain.
Ooh, that's another good one. You know what I love about Spain, too, is it is so laid back and relaxed there, and you can combine riding with such great food and wine. And, I mean, honestly, when we did some of our segments, we'd stop on the trails and have all this great cheese and meat. I mean, it was their version of a snack. I mean, normally I might have had a granola bar, but I'd have this like spread of all this great, you know, Spanish cheese and all this stuff. And it was just that. I mean, if you like food, if you're a foodie, that's a really great romantic trip on horseback. And the Andalusians are so beautiful. You can't help, you know, feeling, you know, all this romance when you're just riding one of those Andalusians, because they're just beautiful.
Yeah, that might be, like, the main draw for me is that actually the Andalusian breed. Riding Andalusians in Spain, I mean. So your favorite probably is Ireland then, huh? Because I think we've asked you that before.
Well, I like Ireland in general. It's good for a lot of different people, and there's so many diverse places, because you can do mountains, you can do beaches, you can do, you know, historic sites. The lush countryside is really, really beautiful. And there's so many different places. I mean, you know, I've been a couple times now and literally driven from, gone into Shannon Airport and done a big loop around the country and ridden in all these diverse areas. And so that's a great top choice. But, I mean, just go to California wine country. That's another good one, Jamie. You guys would love that. You can ride through vineyards or go to some of the state parks, and that's a nice one as well. I keep having wine,
you know,
in these.
Yeah.
I know it's
a trend here, Darlie.
Yeah. There's a theme.
Hey, Darlie, I think she should go to Ireland, and I'll tell you why. Is because I heard that the fox hunts over there are so sedate and so mild that she would thoroughly enjoy them. What do you think, Darlie? And her husband is just too great going over those little tiny jumps they do.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Are you trying to get me killed?
If you have the chance, oh my gosh, if you have the chance to go to Ireland and ride with Willie Leahy, he will not tell me how old he is now, but Willie has got to be, he's either in his 70s or 80s. He looks great. He rides all the time. You can tell he's a rider by the way that he walks, but he goes out on these mad hunts, and he would be a good person to pair you guys up with, but I do warn you, you know, you're definitely going to be jumping some of those fences, so be prepared.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Well, we just he wanted me to ask your opinion because we're thinking, like, next spring, international travel. So we actually visit your website quite a bit and kind of obviously it's equitrekking.com. Everybody can go on it. And if you need if you want to take an equestrian vacation, just click on that link. And Darlie has posted, like, pictures and descriptions and wonderful places to go and kind of some ideas on how to get there. So definitely check that out, equitrekking.com. The Equestrian Vacation Guide is awesome.
Yeah, we've been working on building that up, and a great thing we've done is add videos to a lot of the pages as well, which so people can really absorb where they're going to go and see it firsthand. Because, you know, you guys know how it is, and when you're surfing the web, sometimes it's hard to tell what a destination really looks like. And you can look at a website, and sometimes the best places have the worst websites, even today. So I think it's really mm-hmm. cool to add the video aspect so people can actually, you know, see what's going on there firsthand.
Yeah.
Well, and obviously that's what you're good at is the video side of things. And that's why your show is so popular and you just keep getting nominated for Oscars and Emmys. And
Oscars.
I'm waiting for the Grammy. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, seriously.
You know
and
what? I'm waiting for you to sing on an episode. I haven't seen
it. Oh, my. I don't know. You better wait a while for that one. Though I do sing, but I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be doing that.
Well, next week we're being invited out to Norco, California. They've invited us out to do our show from there for several days. And one of the things they have planned is us Christmas caroling by carriage. So
nice.
I pity the poor citizens of Norco, actually, if I'm going to sing at all.
You know, I'm excited to hear how that is from you guys because I've been hearing a lot about that area and it sounds like it's a great destination for horse lovers.
Well, we're going to be out there almost all week next week and doing many. They have our days planned from morning till night, so we'll let you know. We'll be broadcasting live from there starting next Wednesday morning, and they have lots of activities planned for us, so we're excited about it. We finally get to travel a little instead of just sitting in our studios. It won't be anything like the trips you're doing, I'm sure.
Oh, we'll have to get you to Ireland, Jamie, and Glenn, you'll have to come along, too, and be at that candlelight dinner. That'll just add to the romance, right?
Oh, hell no.
I'm thinking about coming up to Mackinac Island and just, you know, bursting in on your party. I think I'm
that
crashing
cool.
your party at Mackinac.
That would
yeah.
be, actually,
just
that would be
show
really
up.
Neat. If you, yeah. You guys could do a broadcast from there.
I'm going to get a chariot and come driving into your scene when you're filming.
I can get you a chariot. I'm just kidding.
I've always wanted to drive a chariot.
We did that chariot thing, and I drove a chariot in Jordan. So maybe they can send one over. How weird would that be?
Well, thank you, Darlie. We appreciate you being on with us. We're very excited that you're going to be on Horse and Country TV. Obviously, they are usually in this spot every Tuesday. So we really appreciate you being with us here today. It's equitrekking.com. Thank you, Darlie, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Thanks, Jamie. Thanks, Glenn. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, right, Darlie.
Bye.
Well, it is now time. It is time. I don't have any music for this, so it's it's time to announce the winner. And you explained it at the beginning of the show. We had a submission from a listener of a picture of a trailer that she saw alongside the road, and she actually stopped to take a picture just to send it to us. And her idea was, let's reverse the whole really bad ad thing and post a picture of a crappy old trailer and have people post their really bad ads like they were writing it for Craigslist to sell it. In the spirit of the way our really bad ads are, we do every Friday. Well, you guys came through. A lot of you came through, and we're going to read through these ads very quickly now. But we did pick. It was so tough to pick a winner today. We really did have to go back and forth. And I think, Jamie, you'll find at the bottom that we finally have come up with a winner. We have a consensus. So we're going to read these for you. Now, remember, and you'll have to go to our Facebook page to see the picture of the trailer, but let's try and describe it. It is a trailer that's looks like a one-horse trailer. It has this big spare tire in the front that is the best part of the trailer. It's not flat or anything. The rest of the trailer is like completely rusted out. The tires are flat, and it's open air trailer. It looks like, it kind of looks like a chariot. It's open at the top. It has these big tall sides, and I guess you just walk the horse in the back and hope they stay. I don't even know if it has a gate in the back because we can't see the back. So that's what it kind of looks like. This little window in the front, and it's amongst this pile of crap. That it's obviously just a derelict trailer. So these ads describe this trailer and as if they're trying to sell it. Really bad ad style. So why don't you get us started with Sally, Gina?
All right. Sally Crowfoot sent in this one, just short and sweet. Horse trailer for sale. Pull your own unique chariot-style horse trailer. Great potential in this buggy. Won't need a whole lot of sanding either. One of a kind. Don't miss this one. Well done, Sally.
It won't need sanding if you don't want to paint it.
Yeah, exactly.
Becky McKenna sent this one in. For sale. One of a kind, one horse trailer. Straight load. Lightweight. Easily towable by almost any vehicle. Lots of headroom. Minor rust. Spare tire included. Price to move, $500. Call 555-BUY-JUNK. If no answer, call back. Busy making moonshine. That's my favorite part. That was my favorite part of that one. That was good.
Yeah. And we're cooking something.
Next one, I got to. Why don't you do the next?
This is, there's no name, but Cowgirl from Nowhere. Motivated seller, make offer. One horse trailer with open top and front window. Comes with spare tire. Could easily be converted into something else. Lots of potential.
I'm trying to think of what the something else, a big planter maybe? I don't know. Jamie Gage sent this one in. Vintage horse trailer ready for that custom touch. Perfect chariot racing prospect. Only $500. You must pick up, no delivery. Also for sale, a chariot prospect stallion. Never been gelded. Will stand on farrier.
Not stand for farrier. Will stand on farrier. I love it.
This is someone who very obviously listens to you all the time and knows how you feel about stallions. She got that punch in there. That's good.
Geld your freaking horses, people. Geld them. Robin Donahue sent this one in, and fantastic misspellings. I mean, fantastic. Trailer, T-R-A-Y-L-O-R, the number 4, and sail, as in sailing. Ned's a little work, but we used it to carry our whores a few years back. It's got a extra tiree. And window up front, great for hailing tall horses. No Emali, so you got a call. 555-555-555. Love it. It's hard to read, which is awesome.
Obviously, Robin listens. Stephanie Cook wrote, for sale, perfectly broken in one-horse trailer. Homemade with attention to detail, custom paint job, window, spare tire included. Air-conditioned in winter and heated in summer. Won't last very long. Call now. I love that, air-conditioned winter.
I love that.
Heated in summer.
Heated in the summer. Fantastic. It might have to put some sunscreen on your horse. older Justin Harrison sent this in. Older model, which means just old as hell. Older model single-axle horse trailer. Very well-ventilated and lots of headroom for your tall horse. Includes spare. We'll trade for a 3-horse flint load.
You winners. Kelly Robertson, and this one, the vintage horse trailer is definitely a theme with these ads. Vintage trailer, guaranteed to outlast your horse. Easy load, custom paint, white wall tires, and rooftop ventilation. Spare tire included. You won't be disappointed. I'm telling you, some of these ads, if you read them and didn't see the picture, you would call.
I love the vintage because if you put vintage in front of something old, that just makes it cool. And I love the fact that she wrote rooftop ventilation. Kelly Roberts, nice job. Amber Bellows sent this one in. Again, we are letting people write their own ads for a really bad horse trailer that we have a picture of. Horse trailer for sale. Great for the horse that likes a well-lit trailer. Surface rust only. Very well lit. Surface rust only. good spare tire, lots of headroom, and very airy. Light enough to pull with your small truck or SUV. Make an offer. Amber, good job. It's definitely lots of headroom, well lit, and very airy. It has no roof.
Yeah, for claustrophobic horses, this trailer would be perfect, wouldn't it? I didn't think about that. Cheryl Crump writes, older circus-style parade single horse trailer. Open top to display animal. Needs to paint. Comes with spare tire. Lightweight, easy to move. With minimal modification, could be turned into a Roman-style chariot. Sold as is, make offer. 555-555-555. Ask for Tobias.
Tobias.
I like that.
I think
play animal.
Like,
I never thought about that.
Yeah, this would be the perfect giraffe trailer. If you have a giraffe and you need to ship it,
we've got to call Sammy. Next thing she's going to have is a giraffe. She probably has the giraffe down there. We've got to give her a call about this trailer. Well, Carolyn Atkins sent in this one, too. Estate sale. Antique horse hauler. Limited edition. Must see to believe. Guaranteed conversion conversation fader. Get the attention you and your horse crave and deserve. On the road and at the show. Off season. Think ponies, parties, parades. Not a lot of costly gadgets to repair and maintain. A little TLC and you are ready to roll. Sale is final. No warranty expressed or implied. Flexible arrangements may pick up later for a small lot fee.
I love it. Not a lot of costly gadgets to repair and maintain. You don't have to maintain the roof because there is none. Emily Haas is definitely our runner-up. It's very hard to pick. But she has requested that I do this in my very best Southern accent. So she did say that, please note all grammar and spelling mishaps are intentional for artistic effect. We didn't think you spelled like this, Emily. Hearst trailer for sale. S-A-I-L. Love it. If you have a small car, I have the perfect hearse trailer for you. I can pull it with my Honda if I wanted to. Only reason I don't is my hearse won't load, so I take him anywhere. Tires need some air before you can get it, but there is a spare tire. $200, it's a good deal. Will not accept payment. Please pay cash and do not call if you don't want it. Or I will trade for some ferrets or a playpen.
That's so random. Where'd she come up with playpen?
I don't know. Kelly Utter is our other runner-up. This is so good. Do you want to read this one?
Oh, no, I think she wanted you to read this one. As a matter of fact, I got a Facebook message this morning making sure that you read this one because Kelly put everything that has ever been wrong in an ad in this ad. It's no punctuation, and they're screaming. It's just everything that's ever been wrong in an ad she put in here. She did a great job.
I almost want to give her the winner, but I'll stick with your choice. Let's see. Kelly Utter. Paul, fantastic. Now, notice that I want you to know that pretty much every word is misspelled, so do the best I can. Really? Okay, deep breath, because of course she put no periods. Really great brown and white convertible horse trailer, really good for tall horses, but can hold ponies too. It has good brakes, no ramp, but low, so easy to step up for a little bit of rest. No big deal. Tires, good floor. Don't have a truck to bring it to you, so you have to pick it up. Please call Ollie. It's serious. I don't have time for people who aren't serious. Call between 6 and 8 at night only. Please, before I forget, the floor is good too. Doesn't look like there are any holes ready to haul horses. By the way, you just need to pick up. Holy Collins, yeah, you're serious. I'm asking $5,000 since convertible trailers are so rare. Thank you. God bless.
Well, see, got a point. Convertible trailers are kind of rare. You don't see those very often.
R-A-I-R. And you got to throw in the God bless. You know what, Kelly? Bless your heart. Okay?
And, of course, the winner, and you, and he has also requested that you read it in the summer. You're popular today, Damien. And you know what? You're only working 2 days this week, so we might as well work your ass off in the last 15 minutes. So Glenn Forrester is the winner, and he posted this one. And good luck, because he has them so misspelled that I had a tough time. Good luck.
Okay. He has also requested that it be done in a Southern accent. And again, that is the only accent that
I can
teach
you. I don't think you could do it not in a Southern accent.
Now, no offense to my Southern peeps, okay? we know that you're not uneducated just because you have the Southern accent, okay? Don't get mad at me. I am Southern. And my dad talks like this. Fur sale. Turd wheel U-Haul mini gooseneck trailer. Every one of those is misspelled, by the way. Trailer. Two-tone baguette and brown lackanappy. This in hooks to bumper and won't go through the floor of the box like in the big trailer did. I don't like five-wheelers. Big and small, it'll haul them all. H-A-W-L, them A-W-L. 19-hand Trakner or 6-hand mini pone. Plenty of headroom. We even hauled it a 1,500-pound bull in its last trip. Rubber is pretty fair. Tire's a little soft, but you put 50 pounds in them and go lickety-split, it'll get you there. If not, there is the turd wheel. It has 5 holes and fits nice on left side. On right side, 2 holes line up. On the right side, 2 holes line up. Be real careful and drive wheel slow when on the right, because milk cows are hard to get butter out of. Brakes work real good. They chirp like a bird. They worked it so good, they pulled the bumper off of Jim Bob's decked truck when he had to stop real fast. This trailer is self-cleaning, but you might want to put a board behind the mini pony so they won't fall out. First $50 takes it.
That was for Glenn Forrester for writing it and you for reading it. Great job.
I like the turd wheel. It has a turd
and
wheel.
The brakes work real good. They chirp like a bird.
They worked it so good, they pulled the bumper off Jim Bob's Dakota truck when he had to stop real fast. And then you might want to put a board behind the mini pony so they won't fall out. And actually, he wrote the first $50 takes it. It was $50.000, so actually it would be 50,000. I don't get it. Wait,
Glenn Forrester.
Yeah, you're going to get a copy of Buck the Movie. And everybody, fantastic job writing all of these ads. I mean, my gosh, you guys are funny. They're funnier than me. They need to be doing this show. Pick one of these people to co-host for tomorrow. I'm off.
Well, speaking of which, you are off. We do have a great co-host for tomorrow, and it's Lynn from Lope. Remember, down in Texas, she's the one that rescues off the track thoroughbreds down there in Texas. We had her on because she was taking in a bunch of the horses that were expelled from their farms by the fires that were going on down there. So Lynn's going to be joining us tomorrow morning, and she's going to be on for the whole episode as a co-host, her first time. So she's very excited about it. We're excited to have her. She's a lovely lady, and we're going to talk to her a little bit about everything that's going on currently in Texas and in the drought and all that stuff, see if they've gotten a little rain since then. So we're going to be back tomorrow. We also have some great guests lined up, so you want to join us again tomorrow. Remember, Thursday we have our special musical episode, brand new one for you, an absolutely lovely girl named Tiffany that you're going to want to hear from on Thursday. And then a special episode, shopping episode, for you on Friday as well. Jamie and I will be back live next Monday morning. You have a great trip, Jamie. Enjoy the family. Don't drink too much with your brother, although it sounds like that's his mission in life, is to get you drunk this trip for some reason.
It
is. Is your twin brother?
Actually, this is my older brother, which is the reason it was so confusing to me, because he's usually the buttoned-up, responsible one.
Well, maybe he has news for you that you haven't heard yet. You never know.
Who knows? Who knows, my God. All right, well, everybody have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to us and putting up with us and submitting ads and being ridiculous with us. I hope you all are very thankful. I know I am for every part of life. So thank you guys very much for being a part of it. And spay, neuter, and geld.
Well, thank you, Jamie. You have a great trip. We'll talk to you on Monday. I'll be back again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. live here on Horses in the Morning.